Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to you by Bestline Racing. Bestline Racing has a complete lineup of performance additives for your engine's needs. From our oil additives to our fuel treatments, we have you covered for your hobby, tow rig, race car, or your daily driver. Check the show notes for your Snail Trail 4x4 discount at bestlineracing.com.
Beat time.
Welcome, everybody, to the Snail Trail 4x4 bonus episode. Woo! The studio crowd does it again.
They are so excited.
They are. I'm excited. This is going to be a fun one. Why are we releasing and getting into people's ear holes here on a Saturday, Jimmy?
Oh, it's we have exciting news for everybody. It's a bonus episode.
Are you
going to
tell people what's in your box?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
No, not at all. Maybe. No, yeah, no, no, never.
Okay.
No.
Darn.
Maybe Tuesday.
Okay. No, really, why are we putting out an episode on a Saturday?
Yeah, so we had the wonderful opportunity to record with the Trail Chasers podcast.
Woohoo!
Last Thursday, I believe it was October 15th, the episode was released.
Mm-hmm.
And we recorded the whole entire thing thanks to our patrons because we have this new fancy Christmas board, I think is what you normally
call it. Christmas tree board.
Christmas tree board. And so we were able to actually record our side and their side of the podcast as well on over here. And so I believe the game plan is to release a fun section of that interview for them. And then if you want to go listen to the whole thing, you can go listen to it over on this Trail Chasers podcast.
Yeah. So they released it a couple days ago, so October 15th. Go look for that episode. And then after you're done listening to it, go back and listen to all their episodes because they're fun guys. They're local to Southern California, so they have a little bit of a different wheeling scene than we do here in Northern California, even though we all know that NorCal's the best Cal. And so they have little baby rigs, and one of them has a Ford that everybody can give them, shoot him an email and bag on. Also ask him why his arm is in a brace. It's a pretty funny story.
Definitely.
So so check it out. We're going to release a little section of the interview that we did with them. It's a little fun one, but there was a lot more fun to be had while we were recording with them. So in order to hear the whole thing, you got to go over to Trail Chasers and listen to them from October 15th.
Definitely. I hope you guys enjoy this little sneak preview of the interview, and let us know if you like these things, if we do any of these in the future.
Cool. Shall we roll it?
Let's do it.
Let's roll it.
They do multiple episodes a week.
Yeah, we do two episodes a week, and we've been on a little over a year.
Okay. And there's a while you guys were putting out three, right? With like that Thursday, some Thursday,
yeah, kind of. That was the what was it? The Tyler's terribly twisted topics talks. Yeah, the TTTTTs, whatever those were.
So yeah,
those were fun though.
That is, man, 134 episodes in a year. That's a serious accomplishment because I know how difficult it is to put one episode out a week.
You can barely get me to show up like once a week as it is.
Pretty much. If I do not remind these guys on a regular basis, I don't think other than the
I
fact
get lost that they, all the time. They still get, I have to use Google to find your house.
They get fed when they get here usually. So I think that's why they show up.
That's for the,
And then the YouTube.
There's a trained response now.
Yes, it's Pavlov, right? And then the YouTube channel is a year old now, right?
No, the YouTube channel's a little over 3 years old.
3 years old.
Yeah, so I started it on 4th of July in 2017.
Wow. And how many YouTube episodes or videos do you have uploaded at this point?
I think I'm over 250.
Man. So do you guys work?
Yeah, you guys have jobs. Or
yes, we do.
Well, for the last year, this has been my job.
Fantastic. Wow. So that's awesome. Yeah. That is impressive and awesome. And one of the things I wanted to comment about on the YouTube stuff, because I've watched, I don't watch it religiously, but I have tuned in. And one of the things I like the most about your YouTube stuff, and I want to know if this is intentional, is that it's very turn on the camera and go. Very organic. It's not scripted. It's very much your personalities come out in the YouTube channels. It's like, you know, I believe part of the success is that people watch the video and they feel like they're hanging out in the garage with you guys. I mean, is that, did it start that way, or was that something that you had to work on?
Pretty much. That's what we were going for. Like we've found that through the YouTube and the podcast and everything that we're just kind of normal people that decided one day to hit a record button, and people like it, and people like to learn about the information and the stupid things that we get ourselves into. So definitely it's a lot of personality kind of goes into it, and it's definitely a lot of fly by the seat of our pants kind of thing. It's been funny. Some of the times we'll be in the shop recording different stuff, and I'll be like, that was awful. Do you want to retake it? And he goes, nah, let's just keep going.
Well, because that's what they expect.
Well, there are awful days. There are times
absolutely.
When things go wrong. I mean, and that's, again, that goes back to the ability for people to connect, make a connection with you guys is, there's the reality of, oh, this didn't go exactly as planned, or I'm not really sure about this. Let's learn about it together. Mm-hmm. And it's not like a scripted, there are some shows that I've watched and even podcasts I've tried to listen to where the content is so scripted and like a repetition of Wikipedia as an effort to demonstrate superior knowledge, it comes off all wrong and there, you can't connect to that. And you guys are like the opposite of that. You're very organic and real. And I really appreciate that about the content that you put out.
Yeah. Thanks. I know that, there's weeks where Tyler and I pretty much won't tell each other what we've been up to. And then when we meet up, we're like, oh my gosh, we have so much we need to tell each other. And that's why, and you know, our reactions are for the most part are genuine reactions because we haven't told them like, oh, you know what? Hey, by the way, I popped your tires the other day. You know,
hold on. Whoa.
You know, and so we'll, you know, the genuine reaction will come through because that's actually the first time we've been hearing about it.
Yeah. Yeah. A big goal of ours is to encourage people to get out and go off-roading and get out into the wild and get out and play with their vehicles and get out and work on their vehicles and wrench on their vehicles and figure out how their vehicles work, how to make them better. And we definitely feel like if we tried to, I don't know, script things or try to be really professional, then it just comes off like, oh, that's not attainable. We can't, everyday person can't do that as well. Whereas, you know, if we're sitting around screwing everything up that is possible to screw up, everyone's like, oh yeah, they did that. If they can do that, I can do that. I can screw that up too.
That's our demo as well. Like, oh, that idiot did.
Yeah, exactly.
It's gotta be easy.
Yeah, we know of we know of a few podcasts because we were on the High Sierra 4x4 podcast for a very small stint, trying to, you know, encourage them and keep them moving and, you know, keep the podcast going and take some of the weight off. And when we left that podcast and we started our own, we've had two or three podcasts start up more or less saying, because you guys are doing it and you're screwing up all the time.
We can do the same thing. Yeah.
100%. And I think so we've been you guys and us, we've been creating content for a couple years now. I've had people make the comment like, how do you do that? And the answer is always
just do.
Yeah. The guys show up, we hit record, we start talking. Sometimes they're good shows. Most of the time they're not.
Yeah.
It also helps when your host, one of the hosts, decides to do wheelies on his bicycle and he wrecks himself.
You know what? Seriously.
And then you have a few weeks worth of laughs at his expense.
If I wasn't as dumb as I am, I don't know that we'd have as many episodes.
That's true.
We would run out of content.
We all have our roles on our show.
The first time I used clip-ins, I did the same thing.
I would love to say
clip-ins.
This was a result of clip-ins. several other calls have been the results of clip-ins. This is just a result of being old, out of shape, and not knowing it, or not being willing to accept it. So with that said, like the content you guys have created both on the YouTube side and the podcast side, what would you say is the advice to those people, the people that have reached out to you and said, hey, I'm thinking about starting a show. What would you tell them now that you're 140 episodes into the podcast?
I would say that simplify it. Like, don't talk about, you know, we've done it a few times, but don't talk about like the 10 cool tools that you need in your garage. Talk about one tool per episode and make that a whole entire episode about one tool. Then you right there, you get 10 more episodes instead of that one episode that, you know, covers 10 tools. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really find the root of what you want to talk about and make it a lot simpler, and then try to expand on that one idea.
Yeah. Focus points. Definitely. Yeah, there's so many different ways to do off-roading content or any kind of content at all. I mean, we could have, you know, just an off-roading. We could have Jeeps, Toyotas, Chevys, Fords, maybe not Fords, but Dodge. And, no, but there's so many.
Sorry, you're breaking up. What's that? I did.
Too much static. No, there's so many different things that you can do content on, and there's mm-hmm. so many different ways and avenues to go about doing it, that just find something that you're passionate about and start making content about it. People will find you. And like, you know, would you find and partner with people, other people in the industry, and like for podcasting, like we get to come on and hang out with you guys for an hour, a couple hours. It's a good time, and people find you. And mm-hmm. as long as you're passionate about it, that's really what drives it. So, find something you're passionate about and make some content. Just share what you're doing with the world. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Me and Jose keep trying to go down conspiracy roads, and, Cody won't let us.
We're
passionate.
If either one of you can figure out how to make the technology work and actually produce a show, you're welcome. You're welcome to start your own.
All right. Well, we want to record. We want to use the studio Friday nights, like at 11 o'clock at night. You know, that's when we want to do our show.
And they got to be fed too when they come over. So,
you know what? I don't drink beer at all, and my fridge is constantly stocked with beer because these guys come over here every week.
Not anymore.
It's a safe place to store it.
Yeah.
So going back to passion, let's get some background here. So you guys, obviously you're passionate about off-roading. I'm assuming you've been doing it for a long time. Talk to me about kind of where that started. Where did the passion for off-roading start? What was your path kind of to this point? And, you know, from a professional perspective, like, were you in content creation or anything? What did you do in your careers before you started doing this?
Me, you
go for it. All right.
Let's see. So when I was really young, I wanted to, before I could get my driver's license, I contacted my father and I said, hey, oh, well, I didn't, I, you know, yelled
contacted at him. Yeah, did you write him a letter?
I don't know why I said it that way. I told him.
There's a weird family dynamic there.
Yeah, I know. It's not like he lives across the city, you know. Actually, you know what? He's like calling me right now, which is funny.
put down the call. We'll ask.
Professional podcaster silenced his cell phone. Yeah. I told him that I was like, hey, I want to build a car. I want to have a cool car when I turn 16, and I want to, you know, do this. And my dad's like, no way. I don't think you have any understanding about how hard that is. And I didn't. I started off with actually a Jeep XJ for a little while.
As many people did that were poor.
Yeah, it was a lemon.
Shots fired.
I had three of them. I love them. They were cheap at the time. You used to be able to pick them up for $2,500. That's what I'm saying.
Now you can pick them up for $25.
Yeah.
More like $10,000.
So that broke very soon after I got it, and then ended up with a 1990 Toyota pickup.
You made sure to check for that there was oil in the motor.
Yeah.
I'm just.
You know, it was a 4-liter. I think those 4-liters can run forever without oil.
They run without oil.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then from then, I just fell in line with a good group of friends that were off-roaders and outdoor people, and you know, been wheeling kind of ever since. Went to college and met more people that were, you know, in the off-roading outdoor scene. And I went to school to become a graphic designer and do some web design. And I was doing that up until I left my job and started doing this full time.
Wow.
What was the pivot point where you're like, look, something has to give, either my current job has to go or I can't do the podcast and show anymore? Like what was that, like, ultimate decision?
It wasn't necessarily well.
Why are you asking, Jose?
Just asking.
Yeah, it's funny because we Tyler and I were kind of having a conversation along this a little earlier, and it doesn't fall true with the way I did it. But I told him that because he's got his other product, Morflate, and I said, you know, when Morflate starts taking over 2%. Or two times more effort for you to do than your day job, you need to stop doing your day job and you need to start concentrating on, you know, the side gig. And that wasn't true for me. I lost, like, when the company I was working for, it was like very mundane, same thing over and over and over. And when I started creating the content for the YouTube side of things, this was all pretty much all YouTube at that time. I just fell in love with it. I got to experiment with, you know, with my design side of things, and I got to experiment on my rig, and I got to create videos and go off-roading and show people these amazing scenes and amazing surroundings of Northern California. And, you know, I took a massive, massive pay cut in just leaving my day job and coming to do YouTube and podcasting. But my quality of life is much higher and much more better. More better. That sounds horrible.
That's that works.
Much, much more better that, you know, than it was.
That works for us.
Mm-hmm. So I chose living poor, but having fun.
Yeah. We pretty much choose.
I don't have, that's yeah, not a choice. I was just
saying. living poor, not a lot of fun. what about you, Tyler?
Yeah, my off-roading kind of started, the passion for everything started when I was a kid. That was what my dad did on the weekends. And so growing up, you know, my dad was always went to work before I woke up and was back after I was already in bed for curfew. So the weekend times, camping, off-roading, that was what I really remember from my childhood a lot of. So getting into that, and then, you know, once I grew up and got a big boy job, I decided to get a big boy car, vehicle, a truck, a Toyota Tacoma, and see how many places I could take it. And that's really kind of where it all started. And from there, then I ended up when my current day job, which is a tennis sales. So I'm a sales rep here in Northern California for tennis, Wilson Racket Sports. So that kind of made me sell the Tacoma because it was lifted on 35s, mud terrains. It had a 6-inch lift on it. It was the dual cab long bed. It still hadn't been re-geared, so I was getting like 11 miles a gallon. And driving 40,000, 50,000 miles a year doesn't work too well in that. So I had to sell the Tacoma. But when I did that, what was cool is that I was able to buy a daily driver and a weekend play rig. And that's where I got my first gen 4Runner from. And it was really well beat up. It was really well built up. I ended up doing some beating.
Beat up too.
Yeah. It had all the good stuff on it, you know, Chevy 63s and the Deaver 63s in the rear, actually, some Alcan 5.5-inch lift springs in the front. It had the dual cases all set up, Marlin dual case 472.28. It had the R151 transmission, which has the lower first gear in it, the kind of the granny gear of the Toyotas. And it was an awesome rig. The first gen 4Runners are fantastic. They're a lightweight rig. They go anywhere and everywhere you want them to. They'll take a beating and keep going. And the axles had the full chromolys, ARBs. It was fully trussed and gusseted. It was a really cool rig. And then it was stolen coming back from Sierra Trek with all of my gear, all of my camping equipment, my tools, my spare parts. I had a couple ham radio repeaters in there. It was pretty bad. So after I got it recovered, thanks to social media. So thank you everybody out there that helped with that. I got it recovered and they had stripped everything off the rig except for all the off-roading parts. Like they took the winch and the yellow top battery, but left the axles, the tires, the wheels, the drivetrain, everything. They just took everything out of the inside.
Why would you take that type of vehicle if you weren't going to strip the drivetrain? Like,
right?
I mean, go steal a Camry if all you need is a battery.
Exactly, yeah, right?
They liked his camping gear.
Yeah. So they liked all my camping gear and all my radio equipment and all my tools and spare parts. So I got it back and they had essentially stripped the interior and I was just like, it's not my rig anymore. I didn't feel like it was mine. It was tainted, right?
Violated.
It was
violated.
Exactly.
Yeah. It'll never be the same again.
Was it Dirty Mike and the Boys?
Yeah, right.
But the other guys
yeah.
Hey guys, a party over here in this Prius if you want to join us.
There you go. Yep.
Are you Dirty Mike and the Boys? You remember that?
I don't.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we're in the coat covered Prius, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're giving me shit about Scott Pilgrim versus the World. That movie's way better than the
other guys. At least it's from the last 10 years and not like 20 year old movie.
And it does. It has Dirty Mike and the boys. That guy was not in Scott Pilgrim.
So you got it back and it's tainted. And then what?
It's tainted. And I at that point as well, I was kind of like, you know, the first gen 4Runners, they're amazing. You can remove the tops on them, have an open top vehicle essentially. But the main problem was that the space between the driver passenger seat behind that and the rear seat area and the cargo area, that was like unusable space. You can't use it very well in the first gen 4Runners. So I was like, you know what? I want an SUV still because I'm too lazy to weatherproof all of my gear for a pickup. And I wanted four doors so that I can access behind the driver and passenger seat a lot more easy. And so I was actually in New York for work, and Jimmy messaged me about a 94 4Runner that popped up on Facebook Marketplace. And so I messaged the guy and I'm like, hey, is there any way I can send my buddy out to go look at it and check it out and see, you know, if this is actually a really good deal or not? And he was like, I don't know. You know, it seems kind of weird that you're having somebody else come out and look at it. And I was like, yeah, I'm just in New York. I won't be back for another week and a half. And he was like, you know, I don't know. And I was like, I'll send you a deposit of like $500. I'm pretty sure I want this. I just need to make sure that everything checks out. And he goes, you know what? This is starting to sound like a scam. What the hell is going on? And he goes, you're in New York. You want to send me money for a deposit. And then you're expecting a guy to come and check it out and pick it up for you. I was like, oh, yeah, you're probably right. That actually does sound really pretty bad.
Sounds that weird because I had my brother. My brother was living in Sacramento at the time, and I had him go look at a Jeep. I called him up. I said, go look at this Jeep for me. Tell me whether or not I should buy it. And then just a couple months ago, Casey had me go look at two vehicles that he was looking at buying because he couldn't get the time off work. And I don't work. Don't tell anybody, but I never do anything. Yeah. And then I took off during the day.
Cash checks. And
I took off during the day to go look at a couple vehicles for him. And I was like, yeah, my brother will be by later to buy this. I think it's a normal thing.
Okay, so that makes me feel a little bit better. I don't know. So anyways, we're just like, hey, you know, I totally get it. You know, hey, we actually run a podcast and a YouTube channel. And he goes, oh, you Snail Trail 4x4. We told him Snail Trail 4x4. He goes, oh, I listened to you guys. And we were like, oh, okay.
And so, he actually took your ham radio class.
He did. He took my ham radio class. I believe the same one you were in, actually.
It was.
So it was just a funny coincidence that ended up all shaken down to get that 94 4Runner that I have now. And then once I got it, I decided that I really, really, really wanted to go on a Barrett Lake trail run, a weekend trip, like a week and a half after we got the rig. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to take everything that was on the rig. I wanted to take everything that was on my first gen 4Runner and put it on the second gen 4Runner in a week and a half. So we ended up doing a big swap where we took the transmission, T cases, and axles, out of at least two rigs, the axles out of two rigs, and swapped everything. And then we took his transmission and T cases out of his truck and put them in one of the 4Runners. And so what kind of, we ended up swapping around three drivetrains within a week. It was kind of fun.
See, that's the difference between you guys and us. If we had 2.5 months to change the oil and install stickers on one of our trucks, we'd be like, I don't know, man. I don't know if we can get it. I don't know
if we're going to make this happen.
I say Jose.
I do it. Yeah, you Jose, guys don't do it.
Yeah. So yeah, we don't, I don't ever get that deep into when it gets that bad. It's time for a new vehicle. It's just let's
just give up on it.
Yeah. Oh, this truck's dirty.
Yeah. I think the tires are worn down. Trade it in. So going to that extent, you guys, you know, mechanical aptitude and capabilities, you guys really know what you're doing, or at least you have the perception. We have the perception that you know what you're doing as much as you're faking it, I think.
That's just a good way of putting it. One of my personal mottos is fake it till you make it. So act like you know what you're talking about, and sometimes you make things work.
Yeah. But where did that come from? Are you guys just the type of people that aren't afraid to tear stuff open and see what happens? Or did you have some kind of like experience or training in the mechanical world?
No, I've had no training for the most part. I figured, you know, if I can take it apart, I can probably put it back together again. And it most of the time it's worked out for me. Sometimes it doesn't in my favor. I actually just broke apart yesterday, working on something. So, yeah, I mean, but it, once you get your hands dirty and you know, start small, start easy, start, you know, changing some lights or, you know, something stickers. Simple. Yeah.
Start with stickers
and then move to, you know, blinker fluid and, you know, move on from there.
Oh, muffler bearings.
Yeah.
When I was 19 and I got my first Jeep, it was a bucket of crap and I couldn't afford to have anybody work on it. So I would do it. And I always took the approach of, well, it's already broken. So worst case scenario is I can get in there and fix it, or worst case scenario, it's still broken and I have to take it to a shop either way. So it was like a, you know, whatever, I'm gonna at least give it a shot. And I'm sure I shot WD-40 into places it didn't belong and that you need me to replace, but that's kind of how you learn.
All right. We are back. Thank you for listening to the little sneak peek. We had a lot of fun with it. They're super fun guys. They do some really cool content from the kind of Southern California wheeling content and other off-road stuff, news, updates, everything like that. So go check them out. Do you know where everybody can find them at, Jimmy?
Well, they can on your local or usable podcasting apps that you enjoy so much, Trail Chasers. I'm sure they have...
It's not Tail Chasers?
No, it's Trail.
Trail,
okay. Trail, did I say Tail?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
But they had mentioned that at some point in the interview. Don't put in Tail Chasers.
Right. Yeah. Just like don't search for Snail Trail. Make sure to put the 4x4 at the end.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. They also have an Instagram. They also have YouTube. They do a live stream of the interviews every Monday, which we were on that one as well. So you can go watch the video if you want.
Do they have an OnlyFans?
I don't know. Maybe.
That'd be cool. You can watch them on OnlyFans, I've heard, too. So look up Trail Chasers on OnlyFans. Oh, you guys. You guys get me going. I love the studio audience. So yeah, they're super fun. We had a lot of other things that we talked about, a lot of different topics we covered. So head over to Trail Chasers and check out that episode from Thursday, October 15th. That it?
We out.
We out.
I'll send you a PayPal, Chris.